Our scripture from today comes from the Old Testament book of Judges in the 7th chapter, reading verses 1 through 8 and 19 through 22. Hear the word of the Lord. Then Gideon and all the troops that were with him rose early and encamped beside the spring of Herod, and the camp of Midian was north of them, below the hill of Morah in the valley. The Lord said to Gideon, "The troops with you are too many for me to give the Midianites into your hand. Israel would only take the credit away from me, saying, 'My own hand has delivered me.' Now therefore proclaim this in the hearing of the troops. Whoever is fearful and trembling, let him return home." Thus Gideon sifted them out. 22,000 returned, and 10,000 remained. The Lord said to Gideon, "The troops are still too many. Take them down to the water, and I will sift them out for you there. When I say this one shall go with you, he shall go with you. And when I say this one shall not go with you, he shall not go." So he brought the troops down to the water, and the Lord said to Gideon, "All those who lap the water with their tongues, as a dog laps, you shall put to one side. All of those who kneel down to drink, putting their hands to their mouths, you shall put to the other side." The number of those that lapped were 300, and all the rest of the troops knelt down to drink the water. Then the Lord said to Gideon, "With the 300 that lapped, I will deliver you and give the Midianites into your hand. Let all the others go to their homes." So he took the jars of the troops from their hands and their trumpets, and he sent all the rest of Israel back to their own tents, but retained the 300. The camp of Midian was below him in the valley. And in verse 19, so Gideon and the 300 who were with him came to the outskirts of the camp at the beginning of the middle watch, when they had just set the watch, and they blew the trumpets and smashed the jars that were in their hands. So the three companies blew the trumpet and broke the jars, holding in their left hands the torches and in their right hands the trumpets to blow. And they cried, "A sword for the Lord and for Gideon." Every man stood in his place all around the camp, and all the men in the camp ran. They cried and fled. When they blew the 300 trumpets, the Lord set every man's sword against his fellow and against all the army. And the army fled as far as Bathshitta, towards Zerahah, as far as the border of Abel-Minha by Tabath. May God bless to this reading and hearing of his holy word. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for this day. Father, we pray that your message would flood our hearts this day, and that our hearts might be open to hear. Bless he who speaks, they who listen, and all of us who understand. In Christ's name, amen. So hopefully this is somewhat familiar scripture to you. I remember hearing about this when I was in Sunday school when I was younger. So we're going to talk a little bit about the life of Gideon, but more importantly, we're going to take a look at Gideon and his attack on the Midianites, and what lessons that we can take and we can learn from it. Well, firstly, who was Gideon? Gideon was the son of Joash from the Abizite clan in the tribe of Manasseh, who lived in Ephrah. And his father was not a very rich man, and the tribe of Manasseh was one of the lesser tribes of the 12 in Israelite, in Israel. And therefore, it did not get much respect. But nonetheless, even though he was poor and came from a lesser tribe, Gideon became a military leader. He became one of the greatest judges of Israel, and also he was a prophet. Now, despite being one of the greatest judges that God set over Israel, he was very timid. When he first appears in Judges 6, he is hiding from his enemies on a thrashing floor. He didn't want to get involved. But God comes and tells Gideon that he has been chosen to do great things for God. Now, if God appears to you and says, hey, you're going to do great things for me, what more than likely is going to be your response? Hopefully it's something like, okay, God, let's get going. But that's not what Gideon did. Gideon did not believe it, and he actually tests God not once, not twice, but three times, going against what God had said in Deuteronomy 6, where he warns against being disobedient to himself. Verse 16 says, do not put the Lord your God to the test as you did in Massah. But Gideon tests God three times. Gideon takes a fleece, puts it out on the ground, and says, basically, God, if what you're saying is true, tomorrow morning, let the dew be on the fleece, but it is not, but let it not be on the ground. Next morning, dew is on the fleece. There's no dew on the ground. So Gideon says, okay, well, tomorrow morning, when I get up, I want to see the dew on the ground, but I do not want to see dew on the fleece. And lo and behold, Gideon gets up the next morning, and it is so. And last he says, okay, God, tomorrow morning, let's go. I want you to do what you did on the first day. Put dew on the fleece, and don't put dew on the ground. And Gideon gets up, and it is so. See, I think God wasn't going to give Gideon any excuses not to do what God wanted him to do. And one of the first things that God has Gideon do is he tears down the altar of Baal. And by doing this, Gideon almost got himself killed, because the town people didn't take too kindly to him ripping down the statue of Baal that they were worshiping. The next thing that God wants Gideon to do is he wants him to take care of the oppression that is coming from the Midianites. So that raises the next question, who were the Midianites? Now, we are all familiar with the story of Abraham and how he had Isaac with Sarah, and he had another child by Sarah's handmaiden. But after Sarah had died, Abraham married Keturah, and with her he had six sons, one of which was named Midian. Now the Bible tells us that the children of Midian settled in the land of the east and became a nomadic people. So the Midianites, as the were the Israelites, they were both children of Abraham. And they enjoyed a pretty good relationship. But over time, that relationship soured. And there came a time when the Midianites and the Assyrians invaded and were plundering the land. And they did this for some 7 years. And this was during a time when Israel had turned away from God and they finally realized their wrongs. They cried out to God and God gives the job to Gideon to take care of it. So in our scripture today, Gideon sets out to take care of the Midianites. And he starts out with an army of 32,000 men. Now, this was not a large army in comparison to what the Midianites had, but it was enough that Gideon thought that he stood a chance against them, especially because God was going to be with them. But Gideon says, hang on a minute. You have too many men for me to give the Midianites into your hand. If I do so, then Israel is going to think, hey, we won because we had this big army and not because God delivered them to us. So you need to get rid of part of your army. So God has Gideon do two things. First off, he has Gideon ask who is afraid and to send them home. And 22,000 men were afraid and they were sent home, leaving 10,000. So Gideon's lost two-thirds of his army. And next, God tells Gideon to take the 10,000 down to a body of water and to have them drink. And God says, anyone that gets down on their hands and knees and puts their mouth to the water, send them home. But any person that gets down, scoops water up, and drinks, him you shall keep. And it's always I always ask the question, what difference did it make how they drank? Well, this is an army. And an army's got to be ready to fight. Well, if you're going to kneel down at the water, you've got to put your spear down. You've got to put your shield down. And you got to take your eyes off of your surroundings. But if you kneel down, you can keep your shield on. You can keep your hand on your spear. And you can also be watching to see if someone is going to be attacking you. So there was only 300 that scooped up the water in their hands and remained vigilant for attack. So let's review. Gideon starts out with 32,000 men. And he's got now less than 1% of those men. He has only 300. So now Gideon, instead of being partially reliant on this large army, is totally reliant on God to deliver on his promise and to deliver a miracle, which indeed God does. And if you read very carefully, those 300 men did not actually attack. They just made a bunch of noise. But that noise frightened the Midianites, caused confusion in the camp, caused them to flee, caused them to actually attack each other and to run away and to scatter, giving the victory to Gideon and the victory to God. Now, there's two lessons that we can take and we can learn from this story of Gideon. And lesson number one is God can work with a little bit of faith and a little bit of resources. How many times have we personally been low on money, been low on time, and we have faced an issue? And things just happened to work out. How many times has this church or any other church that you have been a part of, how many times has similar situations be faced and somehow things work out? Who's seen the movie Shakespeare in Love? There's an exchange in that movie between Philip Henslow, who is a theater entrepreneur and impresario, and Hugh Fenniman, who finances the plays that Mr. Henslow puts on. And in this particular scene, Mr. Fenniman wants his money back. And Mr. Henslow starts out, "Mr. Fenniman, allow me to explain about the theater business. The natural condition is one of insurmountable obstacles on the road to imminent disaster." To which Mr. Fenniman says, "So what do we do?" And Mr. Henlow says, "Nothing." Strangely enough, it all turns out well. Mr. Fenniman says, "How?" And I love the way, I forget what his name is. Rush. The actor. Anyhow, I love how the actor says this. He says, "I don't know. It's a mystery. It is a mystery sometimes the way God will take and things just work out when we have that little bit of faith and that little bit of resources." Now this leads us to lesson two, and that is God wants us to trust Him. As I mentioned, Gideon starts out with 32,000 men. God says, "You've got too many men, Gideon. The credit will not go where the credit needs to go." Now, God did not simply say this because He wanted all of the glory and He wanted all of the praise when the Midianites were defeated. He said this because He wanted Gideon to trust in Him for the victory. The same thing happens in our lives and in this church and every other church today. Oftentimes, we've got these comfy little cushions that we can rely on. We've got jobs that provide us enough money to get stuff done. There are other people in the church who step up and do things we'd rather not get involved with. Having a job is a nice thing until you're out of work for 4 months, which, as an aside, I got a job, so praise God for that. All that we want to do is we want to hide on the threshing floor like Gideon for as long as we can before God comes and drags us out kicking and screaming at times from our little comfort zones to do his work. Now, our spouses and ourselves, we all have pet peeves. It's just a matter of life. Holly and I have pet peeves that involve each other. And one of Holly's pet peeves concerning me sometimes is that my sermon titles don't make sense until later on in the sermon. What the heck does this title mean? Well, the sermon title this week is in Latin. Now, anybody know Latin? No, you don't. You know Spanish. Yeah, I know. Yeah. Does anybody know Latin other than Holly? Okay. So I'm gonna put you on the spot here for no? Okay. Alright, I'm not gonna do that. I won't do that to Francie. I am gonna put Erudia on the spot. Erudia, what does ex pauces untum mean?
I think it's from, I think it means from too much or many.
From what? Okay. Basically, what this means is from a few, a lot, so you were close. From a few, a lot. So, what this says is no matter how few our resources may be, or how small our faith may be, or how hesitant we are to do things, God can use it. God can do much with very little. When I got married to Holly, one of the conditions of that was I had to take and join the Gideon's International because my father-in-law was in the Gideon's International. And I don't know if you're familiar with the Gideons, but their basic thing is to spread the gospel to all people. And you're probably all familiar with the little Gideon testaments. And they give out millions and millions of these. And it's not a big, huge group. But they model themselves after the story of Gideon. God can do much with very little. God can take a small church and he can take and he can do great, magnificent things if we just have a little faith in him. Amen.